Thank you. I have felt a little bit that my work sits a little bit at odds, I think, with some of the stuff, the good papers that have gone before. But when I saw the notion of a myth, I had to submit something, because I do think there is a lot of myth around PE teachers and public perception of how PE teachers are. At the University of Bedfordshire, I'm a teacher educator, so I'm training the next generation of teachers. And what I do in my own work, using my own narrative, is to try and challenge the myth that I'm going to present to you today. The background of each slide is actually, some of it's Billy Elliot, because it's obviously a well-known dance show. Most of it, though, is DV8 physical theatre, particularly a piece called Enter Achilles, which was a piece based in a pub. And it was kind of blokish, homosocial bonding, which I think speaks very well to what goes on in teacher training. If you happen to be on a Monday or a Wednesday evening, this is what you will see. So when I watch the piece, and I'll unpick some of its scenes for you today, I think it mirrors PE. And I use this with students for them to question their own role in PE. Yeah. So I'm miffed off restoring, as it says there. Responding to the recent call by the profession for physical educators to engage in critical autobiographical work, my presentation charts my own frustrated auto-narrative of struggling to be, become and belong as a dance educator within PE. When I entered teacher education, I was a seasoned footballer. I used to do break dance, but I didn't do dance beyond that. When I left 4 years later, I was an aspiring dancer. And I've really struggled to maintain that going, because there is a lot of heteronormativity in schools and how teachers buy into that, that polices what is intelligible or acceptable ways of being. So a lot of my work is trying to challenge that. Despite 30 plus years of feminist research and more latterly queer theorising and activism, physical education continues to be dominated by a limiting and limited jock culture. And you'll see elements of this as I go through. This forecloses and silences potentially subversive male dancers. Yeah. I like to also draw upon Cordwell's notion. She writes about female football, where she says female football can be a sight and a sight. So a sight as a location and a sight as you're actually seeing women playing football, which can challenge and re-articulate limited notions of gender and sexuality. I've used that idea in dance. Now, the myth part is the public perception of the PE teacher is not wholly pleasant. And this is in big supply. You don't have to look very far. You look at any film or TV representation of a PE teacher and it will... there's a paper by McCulloch et al. It says, we'll either be represented as butch, a bully or a buffoon. Andy Miller wrote a book called Tilting at Windmills, which was challenging his own experiences of being tormented through PE, and he called his teachers tracksuited tormentors. Now, even though I think there's a lot of falsity in that, unfortunately, I think there's also a kernel of truth, and you may have your own experiences of that. So I think we can challenge that. I could cite loads of research, but I think I'll leave it to Miller and Armstrong in one of their comedic sketches to illustrate what I'm talking about.
I was on the books at Rangers for a couple of years, but they decided they didn't want to use me professionally. So I did personal training for a bit, but apparently it was too aggressive and had very poor people skills. And that was when I thought, why not be a PE teacher?
You're the pent-up rage. Want to lash out? Be a PE teacher.
I think that's comedic and sad in equal measure. I have to say I've had several students that have gone through the course who do have this kind of persona, because it was accepted in their schools. They were, you know, good at sport, because their PE was largely sport, and I think we need to challenge that. And they don't see an issue with replicating what they've had, which I think is to the detriment to a lot of kids in school. Okay, so One of the images of the PE teacher, and you might have had this in your own experience, is the PE teacher running into the changing room, shouting at the pupils, hurry up and get changed and get out onto the field of play or the gym, into a dance studio, and not just get changed, but get changed into something that's appropriate for what you're about to do. I think we can turn that call back and send it back to the teacher themselves. How changed are we getting as a profession to enable that there is social justice within PE and all children matter, not just those who happen to be good at a limited form of games, which is what we often see. Yeah. So that's partly what I'm doing. Ramsay Burt says some men are surely, albeit in slow motion, changing for dance. That has been my experience, and that's what my PhD was kind of narrating, how I'd found dance and then how my pedagogy in dance had changed. Because if I get down to this slide here, first of all, I was reinforcing or rehearsing heteronormativity by limiting the way I danced, whereas by the end of my PhD, I was actually creating gender and sexual justice through dance. Yeah? But it took me a while to see that. Quite often, if we don't understand how gender and sexuality are constructed, we can reinforce rather than challenge. Yeah? So this is what I do with the students, airing my own auto-narrative, interrogating my shortcomings as a teacher from reinforcing to challenging. If I just read a little bit from here, I know I'm going to have to be careful with time. So in terms of, I'm looking at this notion of trouble, and for that I use Judith Butler and also Sarah Putanin, who does a wonderful blog on troublemaking. Drawing upon Butler's observation, trouble is inevitable, Putin deliberates what would it mean to embrace trouble, to develop strategies for making it, being in ways that could produce compelling, potentially transformative ideas and actions. I find Putanin's positive re-articulation of troublemaking towards its productive and transformative possibilities a wonderfully provocative example of Butler's politics of performative resignification. For most of my education, I've been indoctrinated to believe troublemaking is deviant and a naughty act, solely focused on destruction and therefore containing no rightful place in teaching and learning. Revelling in the trouble Putanin weaves has shaken this view, and in concert with Putanin, I too have been moved by Butler's attention and value to troublemaking as an important way of living, and I would add teaching, as I don't believe the two can be divorced. One means of making trouble is through, and this is Butler, decontextualising and recontextualising terms through radical acts of public misappropriation, such that the conventional relation between interpolation and meaning might become tenuous and even broken over time. So I've been using that with heterosexuality, gender, trying to reinterpret these terms. Now, with specific regard to dance, I go to Ramsay Burt, The Trouble with Male Dance Dancers. Upon claiming a troubled location in dance, I'm drawn to the thoughts of Ramsay Burt, who in the second edition of his seminal text, The Male Dancer, postulates there are two competing ideas about the trouble with male dance and dancers. One anxious, the other subversive. He continues, the anxious model is one in which male dancers find themselves objects of suspicion for often imaginary infringements of dominant norms of masculine behaviour. The subversive model is one that exploits this situation in order to make trouble. The reason I've used deviate, because it's a piece that is very physical, strong, in a pub, kind of blokish behaviour, my initial teaching of this was on the anxious end of the spectrum. I was using it to find comfort in my own narrated form of how I viewed masculinity. Over the course of my PhD, I've reworked it so that it's become subversive. This is one of the scenes from Enter Achilles. I can't show it all because it's quite long. Screaming men. If I just give a brief outline of what goes on here. It's in the pub. Each character is introduced and you get to know a bit of their history. Certain characters are more forceful, so they kind of police the behaviour that goes on. But in terms of its use of movement, it's quite physical and strong. The music, the songs are all quite heteronormative in their lyrics. So when they're looking at the mirror, there's this notion of having to measure up to sexpectation. How am I meant to be? And you could look at that from a Foucauldian sense. We are surveying each other all the time. Teachers are surveyed from the top down, from policy, laterally from other members of staff, from below, from parents and pupils. He's talking quite an emotional narrative. Victor Seidler talks about men and emotions. You'll see in a minute one of the other men puts on the jukebox and it becomes Tom Jones, "You Don't Have to Be Beautiful to Turn Me On." A very different change of narrative. So basically, we can't be emotional. We have to be. And this is kind of how I felt. And there's many scenes that do the same. Yeah. The end of this scene, actually, the guy that was doing the emotional song becomes removed from the group and actually screams into a pint glass. The pint glass is actually key to the piece because the lager within is actually meant to represent semen. So quite often they're doing dancing where they're lifting each other and turning, but the pint never spills. So we can have this close contact, but within a very tight, narrow frame. As soon as it's spilt, yeah. So even though he screams in the glass, it's a silence. So I'm trying to break this silence, which is using the work of... So again, you can hear the lyrics, "Hands off, she's mine." It just builds layers and layers through it. And I've actually taught some of this material to the students. And it was actually based on their own narratives. So each dancer had to talk about what masculinity meant to them and how they've been policed. And their own stories became what they developed the material from. I'm going to have to sort of zip on from. The other thing I wanted to do was use, I've always wanted to use the lyrics of Nick Drake in something, so here we go. Yeah, you can kind of see him there. Here I'm using Arthur Frank's notion of thinking with texts rather than about them. If we think about them, it's you think about how it was for the author or the singer. If we think with, we actually personalise it. What messages can I take for myself? As I read the lyrics, and these aren't the full lyrics, these are just some I've teased out from Hazy Jane 1, that speaks massively to me about teacher training. What we find in physical education, teacher socialisation, is many teachers teach as they themselves were taught. They were successful products of a system, they liked the activities, they got on with the teacher, they socialised around the PE staff room, and quite often what happens is they don't see beyond that, what Brown calls inner sanctum. That wasn't the case for me. I had a PE teacher who was bullying. At school we had a red hand gang where he would actually hit you and leave a red handprint on your back. So this notion of do you curse where you've come from, I'm trying to re-narrate that history of my own socialisation. So I'm really, this is John Stoltenberg, masculinity scholar, looking at raising the voices of other men, not just this dominant hegemonic norm. Yep. I'll quickly skip over this one. This is revealing privates in public. All that basically happens is these men start stripping down to pants. In this clip, which is Strange Fish, which is how I was often perceived to be, this is how I'm using my privates now, telling my story of trying to challenge heteronormativity. So my private sense of self, this was how I was revealing privates when I was a teacher trainer, i.e. my genitalia. So it's changed over the course. I think this is a good metaphor, if you can see it, for storytelling, contact improvisation. We can touch somebody and move. So stories are touching and moving. Okay, just a few more of the lyrics there from, "Can you tell if you're moving with no mirror to see?" I'll just go to this one here. Can finish on this one. This is Canduco Dance Company, and picking up something you said earlier, it's called Outside In. Yeah. And for me, this vision shows a pedagogy of possibilities, which is what I think PE or all teaching should be. that we can find a niche for every child, so teach a PE curriculum that has breadth, balance, sensitively delivered, not just games and pandering to a certain group. What you'll see in a minute is Dorship Singh Balmi will actually go to a mirror, and rather than measuring up to expectation, he'll actually lean forward and submerge into the mirror, which takes us back to storytelling, is that teachers, through critical autobiographical work, need to take a deep reflexive look at their developing self, because we know it's got this historical lineage. So I get the students at my institution to look at their present in relation to the past, critically interrogate the two, and then project forward into the future. And then I'll finish with Nick Drake again, which is, I'll finish, somebody's work that's been central to my whole PhD was Alan Skelton. He challenged jock culture in 1993, and I think his words then are salient now. Unfortunately, we've very slowly changed. He said, to challenge this notion, we need to overcome anti-intellectualisation. I won an award at university, the Angel of the Course Award, because I didn't drink, didn't smoke, was often found in the library, the anti-intellectual bit, and spent 4 years dancing with the girlies. So they made a very clear depiction of, yeah. So overcoming anti-intellectualism, his other idea is we need to promote greater intercultural articulation. So a more nuanced voice of what PE could be, not just the dominant norm. And I think theory and stories are cures for a troubled mind.